Welcome to The Clean Truth, where we like to call bullshit on the status quo.
What is up? Welcome back to another episode of The Clean Truth. I'm Don.
I always like to pause before I say it. It's just more dramatic.
Yeah, I love it.
Silver Fox.
We're here, baby. Consistency.
Listen, we pulled an audible today. Those of you guys that are watching can see it on camera. Producer Scott. Away from the camera.
A little better audio today.
A little weird. A little weird. I don't know.
Listen, man, serious question, though. What are we going to do if your camera fucks up?
It won't. Right. I've trained her. Trained her well. She's not going to do anything.
You know, I was telling my wife, we were talking about coming in this morning to do a podcast on Saturday morning. My wife was, I think she's getting a little butt hurt that she's not on the show anymore.
That you keep saying podcast, and you got consistency, and she's not a part of it?
Yeah, she's like, am I ever going to be on the podcast again? I'm like, listen, we covered this last week. We're going to be in there at 9 o'clock in the morning. You want to be on the podcast? Come on in.
Yeah.
No, I got stuff to do. Well, there's your answer.
Till next time, Vaughn. Yeah.
You know, the other thing that's funny is right here in my little show notes that I do, number two thing after the intro of every one of these is fuck Ben up somehow.
I love it.
It is. Look, it's right here.
I love it.
The one thing I got to ask is, does Alexis know that you wore her shoes today?
Wow. And Tiffany blue shoes? I mean,
jeez.
Just a statement
polos,
out there.
Polos, blue shoes.
If you didn't bust my balls, I wouldn't think that we were friends.
It wouldn't be an episode of The Clean Truth. Let's be honest.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I'm used to it. I'm still smiling. Still having a good time.
Show and tell. I just got a cool little birthday present. Thank you, Scott, Angela.
Mm-hmm.
Dugout mugs. It's Cardinals logo. It's got my name etched in the back. This is fucking badass.
Yeah, those are pretty cool.
Yeah.
It's a real wooden bat. They sawed off and...
Got the official MLB sticker on there.
Do you think they stole one of Sammy Sosa's bats?
I doubt it. That'd be... I
don't know. But I'm bummed.
All right, truth or dare? First truth. Who's the better baseball player out of the three of us?
Well, one of us played collegiate baseball.
I was going to say, I brought this up to kind of highlight Scotty. But
well, it's been a while since I've swung a bat, so... That's a big question mark, I would say.
But. And my athletes were just proud of me. I made contact. A few of them tune into the podcast and give me some shit all the time, but they just get excited if I made contact with the ball. So
dude,
I'm going to go bottom of the barrel on out of this three.
I don't think I could see a fastball over 75 miles an hour right now.
We did go to that...
we go to the batting cage.
Yeah, we went to that batting cage simulator.
Yeah, that's not the same, though.
No.
I mean, you look kind of good, though. I mean, I'm not going to lie.
We go to the... what's the one on Oleander? Like the actual batting cage.
Yeah, the one like Happy Gilmore. Like,
yeah.
Gotta get ready for. Saying,
even then, I don't think I could hit a fastball right now. I'd have to stretch. Like, I'd throw my back out.
I bet we do know a few baseball players that would love to pitch to you, though.
That's true.
I used to have a good stroke, but I'm 41, dude. I haven't swung a bat.
Go ahead and throw that in the next Truth or Dare. Maybe that'll come down the pipeline.
That could be a fun one.
That is a fun one. We should do that.
What do you got for a dare?
Who can catch the first wave? And I think what they're meaning is surfing. I'm in.
I mean, we like to dabble in the water, but I don't think out of the three of us, one is better than the other.
I can swim. I'm not a big surfer.
Well, listen, I think out of the three of us, Scotty here was blessed with the best athletic ability.
I agree.
In terms of like all around function, I'm going to put my money on Scotty.
We'll see what happens when the pressure's on.
I've only caught one wave in my entire life. Went surfing with Sam, my attorney. He's a big surfer.
Yeah.
Dude, funny story. Never been surfing before. He takes me to buy my first board. We go to the surf shop at Wrightsville Beach. I walk in, and I'm like pointing at all these cool-looking surfboards. He's just laughing at me. I'm like, what are you laughing at, man? He's like, dude, you're 5'5", maybe, and over 200 pounds. There's no way you're getting up on one of these boards. No effing way.
They're not going to float?
No. So he walks over to these big long boards, and it's like foam. Mm-hmm. He's like, here you go. This is the one you need. I'm like, come on, man.
Like, the cool like, factor went way down?
It looks like a paddleboard. It seriously looks like a paddleboard. And I'm like, I am not going to look cool doing this. He's like, well, you're not trying to look cool. You're trying to learn.
Wow.
Wow. Siri just cut us off.
That was weird.
Can you turn your phone off next time we do a
podcast? Jeez.
Sorry about that.
Unbelievable.
Anyway, he was like, you know, you're not going to look cool. but you'll learn how to surf on it. And I did, but the funny part of this story is we go out to Masonboro, and he took a couple of his buddies out. And these guys are, like, diehard surfers. They go down to, like, Nicaragua, Central America type shit on these surf trips, right? All these guys are wearing T-shirts, like a bunch of nerds. And they have these cool-ass boards, and I'm out here with my fucking 8-foot foam surfboard.
Shirtless.
They're showing me how to wax this thing down. I'm, like, getting all pumped up. I'm like, this is going to be fun as hell. Fun as hell. 20 minutes later, my nipples are raw, and I'm, like, miserable. I'm like, I just figured out why all these guys have shirts on. I had to learn the hard way. But anyway, that was my story.
You got wax sticking to your chest hair. Like, it's a bad day for Don.
That is not a good feeling at all.
Anyway, we're going to do this. Let's do this, Jared. We'll do it. Let's make sure we check the tide and stuff like that.
We'll knock it out this week.
We got to make sure there's actually rideable waves out there first. We show up and it's completely calm and flat. I don't know. We won't have a good time.
All right, the topic today is so hybrid.
Love it.
So that's kind of why I wanted Scotty to sit in on this one. You know, we were joking around about Scott having the best athletic ability out of the three of us, which is actually very, very true, and it's the case. But this is why I wanted him on here, because I think out of the three of us, he is, you know, he's a hybrid athlete.
Yeah, still doing it.
Very strong, very fast, very powerful. How old are you?
Thank you. 25.
Well, there you go. There's your answer.
Yeah, young buck. Mm.
But so anyway, what is a hybrid athlete? Now, what would be your definition of a hybrid athlete?
I mean, we joke around about it a lot because I think you and I are trying to maximize our workout time. And we think hybrid athlete, how can we get the most bang for our buck and not just bodybuilding, but also kind of work on improving our male physique? So for us, it's kind of been like, how do we make our workouts high intensity while still having athletic performance, like a deadlift or something explosive?
Sure.
So I kind of make it for me anyway. I try to train like I am still an athlete, not still an athlete, but to be functional, feel good, move good, feel strong, feel fast. Like, I don't want to go up and down the stairs and be out of breath. Like, cause I went through that period at one point when I was bodybuilding a little bit more than I was training like a hybrid athlete.
Yeah.
Going up and down the stairs, I was a little heavier. Man, 2 flights of stairs and you start breathing heavy, that is not a good time. I did not like that.
I've been there too. When I was bodybuilding in one of my off seasons, the heaviest I got was 240 on my frame.
Right.
I was fat. I was a fat little fucker. And I couldn't put my shoes on.
Yeah.
No, that's no joke. Like, I would sit in a chair and bend over, put a shoe on,
and be out of breath.
Get it tied, be out of breath. And I have to sit up, take a break, and then bend over. And
put not hybrid to our definition.
No.
I think there's definitely a difference between being strong and being a hybrid athlete.
So I think there's a myth to be debunked here. This kind of, you know, I've got a lot of people that ask me questions on this all the time, especially when you and I are fucking around with each other and we're busting each other's balls a little bit about some of this endurance stuff. You know, on, can an endurance athlete be strong at the same time?
Right.
I think they absolutely can.
For sure.
And I've seen it done. I've done it. And I think there's two different little lanes we can go down here. But, you know, there's endurance and then there's power and speed.
Right.
Very fast movements. And I don't want to go down the science lane here and confuse the shit out of everybody and bore them and talk about the science behind this stuff. But I do want to talk about slow twitch muscle fibers versus fast twitch muscle fibers, what the differences are, and then how the everyday person who's sitting here listening to this, I don't want them to go, well, I don't even know what the hell they're talking about.
Right.
So I want to do this in a way that they're going to understand it, because to me, I think, man, a hybrid athlete or a hybrid trainer, it goes all the way down to, like, you know, your everyday mom at home doing e-moms in the garage.
Right, and I think that's
what... That could be considered a hybrid-type workout if there's any kind of resistance training in there.
And I think that's what we talk about when, like, I write programs for clients, you know, women, wives, you know, people out there trying to, you know, work on their physique and everything like that. You know, that's definitely hybrid performance training, what I'm giving them. I'm not just giving them static one exercise after another. So, yeah, it fits all realms for sure.
I think, to me, the benefit of training more hybrid, I keep using my fingers, functional, things like that, is just overall health, man.
Yeah, that's what Echo, what Scott said. Yeah.
And, you know, I mean, I guess it's all in what you want to do and what you're passionate about and how you want to do it. Me, as I've gotten older, you know, I've talked about this many times. When I quit bodybuilding, I went straight to Tony Cowden right here in Wilmington because Tony was kind of like the – he was the upper echelon when you thought about hybrid training.
Right.
He was the man. I mean, he did the 666 challenge, so 600-pound deadlift, 600-pound squat, and they did a sub-6 mile in the same 24 hours.
It's incredible.
If you want definition of hybrid.
That is
insane. The definition.
You know, and they even started their own little gym, you know, a hybrid training style gym. He did a lot of programming for me. That was when I did that first sprint try.
Yep.
I loved it. You know, that mixing that up, and I've loved it ever since. I always kind of fall back to, you know, hypertrophy trophy.
Right.
I always that up. You know, more of a bodybuilding type, you know, workout, but I like the mixing it all up.
Sure, you did like half and half kind of this week yourself. I think you did a little bit more hybrid style and a little bit bodybuilding style all in 1 week.
That's the program you wrote.
Yep.
So, I mean, that's how I like to do it. I like to go down there, like you said, maximize the most of my time because I don't enjoy going down there lifting weights for an hour.
Right.
Just going through my day and then having to go home and being like, shit, well, now I got to do 30 minutes of cardio. I did that for 10 years competing. I don't like to do it anymore.
Right.
It's more fun for me to go down there and just get an all-out blast in 45 minutes and be done with it. I don't have to think about it. It's easier for my schedule, which I think 99% of the people here listening are going to do the exact same thing. They're exactly. Not going to do two workouts a day. They're just not going to do it.
Right.
So you probably have, you know, the science-based knowledge out of the three of us on this, you know, slow twitch versus fast twitch from all of the college athletes that you trained and the periodization and the programs that you wrote for these guys. How much did that come into play with athletes?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, all athletic performance, I think, requires some type of fast twitch muscle recruitment, you know, during your training. You know, everybody's moving quickly, sprinting, jumping to some capacity. Even if it's a golfer, they have to have some type of fast twitch muscle fiber, whether you think golfers are strong or not. There's a reason behind it.
Well,
yeah, so
you gotta drive that golf ball 300 yards.
Exactly. I mean, that's power. That's being explosive. So everybody that we trained, the beginning, the first echelon of the training program was trying to focus on, you know, recruiting more fast twitch muscle fibers at the beginning. And to make that simplified in layman's terms, if I'm writing a program for my wife or, you know, a female, like I'm going to do the same thing in their program. I'm going to have them, you know, squat and do something explosive, like a squat jump after, because like you kind of said, it kind of fits into all realms and all walks of life. And you know, I believe that that's the best way to start your training program for sure.
So let's just narrow this down a little bit so that they can understand like what we're talking about. So when you say slow twitch muscle fibers, those are more of like an endurance athlete. The muscle doesn't fatigue as fast.
For sure.
You know, they have basically more endurance. A lot of runners.
Right.
Slow twitch, you know, cyclists. Stuff with a lot of endurance versus fast twitch, strength athletes. You know, the muscle contracts a lot faster. It also does produce more lactic acid quicker, which is that burn you get when you do a really fast sprint or when you're in the gym lifting. And you get that burning sensation in your legs or in your arms and your chest. That's lactic acid.
Yep.
You know, people are born with both. And people say, well, how do I know which one I have? You have both. It comes down to which one do you have more of? It's whichever one you have, you know, what you do naturally better.
Right. Which one do you have the more God-gifted ability to do?
And I don't think one versus the other one makes you a better athlete. It's just, I mean, I guess that's kind of subjective.
You For know sure.
I mean? If you're a damn good marathon runner or, you know, you're a long distance runner, it's impressive.
Yeah, 100%. You know
what I mean? I think the thing that everybody wants to know is, can I build one or the other? So if I'm an endurance athlete, how do I build more fast twitch and become more explosive and things like that?
So correct me if I'm wrong, but I've heard that you're born with a certain capacity of each one, and you can train each one to its level of capacity. But there are people who have like gifted sprinters, for example, have more fast twitch, and they've trained them to be that top level elite level of fast twitch fibers versus some people who only have like a certain amount and can only get to a certain point.
Right. I think that's kind of like I was saying, like you're trying to recruit as many as you possibly were given or have at the beginning of a training cycle. I mean, and that could be slow twitch also. I mean, you know, long distance runners, you know, they're going to continue to focus on their slow twitch muscle fibers, endurance, you know what I mean? So yeah, 100% agree with that.
I think that, you know, your runners, your endurance athletes are only going to get better by trying to recruit more fast twitch muscle fibers.
Yeah. That's kind of like work on your weak points,
more explosiveness, more speed, more power.
Yep.
I mean, I think it only enhances them. What do you think?
I agree. I feel like you have to have at least some sort of mix of both to be that high level elite athlete to begin with. Like, I definitely think, I mean, Usain Bolt's probably the fastest dude alive. I mean, he's probably going to be able to beat me in a long distance race too. You know what I mean? Like, he's going to beat the majority of people in a long distance endurance running race. Even though he's got that elite top speed to begin with, he'll probably go for a good distance as well. So he could probably do both.
For sure. How do you feel about like training to more recruit like a fast twitch muscle fiber, like, and how it helps like physique for males or females? Like, I kind of lean towards like, if you want to improve your physique, then you need to be training in that more like recruiting fast twitch muscle fibers kind of aspect.
Yeah. I mean, when I think of recruiting more of the fast twitch muscle fibers, I feel like we're saying that a lot. Fast twitch, slow twitch. But anyway, when I think about that, I'm talking, you know, lifting heavy, doing more explosive movements, sprints, interval runs, you know, explosive kettlebell work, you know, more of that off the line, so to speak, stuff.
Right.
Is going to build that. You know, growing muscle, the only way to do that is to tear it down and recover it.
Right.
And what a lot of people, well, you know, I don't want to go into a lot of bodybuilding lingo, but you know, the thing that a lot of people get confused is one more important to the other one? Mm. It actually is. Mm-hmm. Like, you have to train hard in the gym, really hard, to break that muscle down. So my goal was, whenever I went into the gym, when I was bodybuilding, I wanted to break that muscle down as fast as possible. I wanted to get the biggest pump I could, as quickly as I could, and get out and recover it. That recovery is everything.
Right.
It's everything. Everybody bust my balls and say, dude, you have more recovery equipment in your house than anybody I've ever seen. I'm older.
Right.
I'm 41 now. So it takes me longer to recover, you know, and I just like to tinker around with gadgets. But, you know, recovery is the most important thing over training.
In my
mind. I mean, yes, I'm not, you know, trying to say slack on your training, but you have to train your balls off.
Right. But
if you don't recover right, you just wasted an hour of your life.
Right.
So if you throw that recovery out the window,
yeah,
well, you just wasted your time.
For sure.
So correct me if I'm wrong too, but I know you said that especially for bodybuilding, you got to, you know, train those fast twitch fibers, but the fast twitch fibers get bigger, right? So that's actually what creates the shape for a lot of bodybuilders, is those bigger, more round muscles. So fast twitch fibers are something you want to train for bodybuilders, whereas you look at like the endurance athlete, a lot of them are leaner and skinnier, like their muscles aren't as big. So I feel like that, especially when I was, you know, dabbling a little bodybuilding, is a lot of people got misconceptions about training heavy and training explosively as a bodybuilder. I feel like you still have, that's like one of, like you said, like one of the most important things to actually build that muscle, because like those muscles are going to be the biggest ones. If you build the fast twitch ones, you're gonna probably look better.
For sure.
Bodybuilding specifically too, that helps with conditioning.
Yeah,
what they call conditioning. You look better when you lean out.
Right.
If you lift heavier all the time. It's not to say that you don't.
You need to still do both, for sure. Yeah. Yeah.
You can't go in there and be a cable queen every workout. You just can't do it.
Yeah. You got to hit some squats, some bench. You got to do some heavy.
Right.
5 to 6 rep range.
Pushing and pulling.
Mm.
What about track and field? Like, you guys, whenever I was in the gym, when you guys were still there as strength coaches, those guys came in. I was never there when they came in. So
right.
Talk about some of the workouts you would put those guys through. Because I think there's a lot of runners that listen to the listen to the podcast, and they're like, I don't think a lot of them really know how to train in the gym.
Yeah,
you know,
so
they get confused on how to lift versus what's going to help them be a better runner.
Yeah, what do you do for a runner versus, because their main focus is to run more, right?
For sure. So the cool thing about like training, you know, collegiate athletes and professional athletes is we would always do our conditioning or sprint work prior to coming to the weight room. So it was the same thing when we got those track and field teams, because they would be coming from the track to the weight room. So at that point, you know, the sports that were more specific to running only for their activity, we had to think about their workload and how much we were actually doing inside the gym. So baseball player might do a quarter of the amount of sprint work before coming to the weight room that a track and field, you know, 200-meter sprinter might do. So when that 200-meter sprinter came in, we would bring down the workload. We would still work on recruiting fast twitch muscle fibers, you know, being explosive, Olympic lifts, plyometrics, heavy squats, things like that. Whereas like the baseball player would just have the same aspects, but then more volume on the backside with those accessory movements. So you still train them the same. I think just the volumes would definitely change. So I think like if it's a distance runner that comes in or wants to work on trying to be more athletic and more hybrid AF, like we're talking about, I think they need to still focus on doing an athletic movement in their weight room or in their gym first, and then going into kind of some of their auxiliary stuff.
So somebody that's at home who's going to do a 3-mile run today.
Yep.
You know, would you tell them to go do their run and then come back and then do their,
sure,
go right into
a dumbbell snatch, dumbbell swing, something complex, like, you know, we did like the hang clean front squat push press the other day, like trying to do something that's going to be explosive and move quickly. So yeah,
immediately after the run, no break.
Yeah, I mean, they to an extent need a little recovery, but that's going to be the first primary exercise that they do. And I think from there, like I said, even if it's the mom or, you know, the,
you had them do
the weekend warrior, you know, out there, I think if they like running for conditioning and because they feel better and they want to look better, I think if you come in, do something a little bit more explosive, a little bit more per se like advanced as far as an exercise, and then move into, you know, your daily like fitness, you will, like Scott kind of said, feel better from that because you're tackling all aspects of human performance.
But you kind of prioritize like their main focus is they want to run longer for whatever,
for know, sure that, still
that's yeah. That's the first thing that they want to do, and then do the weights after to enhance it.
Correct.
Okay, cool. So
yeah, you got to put the priority where priority is. I mean, a baseball player is not going to lift weights heavy or lift weights in an explosive manner before they go to the batting cage.
Yeah.
Yep. So you still have to put your main focus, if you're a cyclist or, you know, like we said, a sprinter, a distance runner, even a volleyball player, somebody like likes playing tennis, should still go do those things first and then try to add those athletic movements like into your routine.
So like for me, like the one thing that I've been trying to do for a while, which you guys bust my balls all the time because I fell the last time we talked about
this.
This is the box jump thing. So,
Is that a video somewhere?
No, we deleted that ASAP. That was gone from existence. Never seen. Only the person that saw that was Angelina. So she's the only one with that in her memory bank. I don't even remember because it happened so fast.
I bet she still got it.
No. It's gone.
I'm gonna talk to her.
The main thing I was saying is, so for me, because I'm trying to train to jump higher, you know, obviously just be athletic overall.
Right. But,
so jumps first in the training after like a solid warm up, and then go into weights prior to doing that.
For sure.
Okay. So that's helpful because sometimes I'll save my jumps for afterwards to do some burnout work, but it never feels the same. So
you
always want to prioritize.
Yeah. Priority, like you're kind of saying, like in your athletic performance, has to be at the forefront of any kind of workout. Doesn't, like I said, doesn't matter what your goal is, to jump higher, to look better, whatever it must be, like you have to start that workout, you know, going at attacking those goals first. You can do all the other things last and still get the achievement, but you can't do it the opposite way around.
So it's cool.
Sorry, go ahead.
So I was going to say, that's kind of cool too, because back when I used to do a little bit of powerlifting and bodybuilding, I would always do, you know, trying to get your squat, bench, deadlift up. You always do those ones first.
That's what I was getting ready to say. Yeah. So let's flip the script, because that's where I fall into place.
Yeah.
And that's what I've been doing. You know, is for me now, it's heart health. It's the right. only reason I do it. I can joke around about wanting to be an athlete, but man, to be all jokes aside, it's for cardiovascular heart health.
Right. I'm
41.
Feel better.
Yeah, I want to feel better. I want to be able to move when I get out of bed, not have my knees crack, my back hurt all the time. And since I've started doing this, honestly, I feel better. I
mean, right.
That's just the truth. It's a little harder for me to do it because it's exhausting for me, but I feel better.
Right.
So if I recover right, I don't go through that. So what I've been doing is going down there and I do all of my strength training first, and then I don't want to say endurance. Let's just be real here. You know, I live at Riceville Beach, so the easiest thing, the best workout for me, and I've had to like, I've actually gotten to the point now where I have to like enhance this because it's got really easy for me to do.
Right.
Is I would go down there, do my squats or do my bench and with 4 or 5 accessory movements afterwards, and then go like run the loop. And I say run, I mean like a fat man shuffle.
Yeah.
Or I would do like intervals.
And I think this is what you're kind of like describing is why we like using this like quote unquote with our fingers, hybrid as fuck, because it doesn't have to be like Scott's kind of training more in the athletic style hybrid as fuck.
That's two episodes in a row. He dropped an F-bomb.
Yeah. Sorry, Mom.
Pam.
But getting fired up. Mm. But I think what you and I are doing right now when we say we're being hybrid as fuck is, like, I relate it to, like, these F45 trainings, to Orange Theory Fitness. We are trying to be strong, physically fit, look good in a physique aspect, and still have a cardiovascular, like, output. So I think we're talking, there's two different avenues of this hybrid AF that you can take. You can take one, kind of how Scott has, and how our athletes are hybrid because they're playing sports and they're also lifting weights. So we just covered that. But I think like what we're finding is trendy in the market is it's less of these spin classes and more of these, how can I be hybrid performance trained, correct, and feel good on a day-to-day basis. And I think that is 100% why Orange Theory has been successful. Barry's Bootcamp has been successful. And now you have places like F45 where they're putting turf into their boutique gyms.
Pretty cool.
And putting sleds and kettlebells.
Yeah.
So they're mixing it all into one. And like you said, people like yourself and my age like are finding that to be so much more beneficial because they're getting the bang for their buck and they're feeling less like they're going to the gym and doing a leg press, leg extension, leg curl kind of workout. So
that's fun as hell.
I was gonna say I feel like the average person has way more fun doing all that than going to the gym just doing some curls. Absolutely, and man. Some basic gym movements.
For sure.
Yeah. It's way more entertaining, way more fun to
do. People ask me like all the time, what do I think of Orange Theory Fitness? And I'm like, I think it is awesome because it fills a void for people that don't have the time to spend, you know, 30 to 45 minutes doing cardio plus doing weights and everything like that.
You know, kind of off topic. Well, on topic, but down a little bit of a different path. You know, the one that I've seen, I've never done it. I've been there to a couple of them here in Wilmington because we've done some marketing stuff.
Right.
You know, is 9 rounds.
Yeah, the boxing thing. For sure.
I mean, you want to talk about an endurance workout?
But I think they're also incorporating like strength exercises. I know they do squats and push-ups kettlebells too. So same kind of concept. Cool.
There's one term. We've been doing this podcast for, 30 minutes now? Going on 30 minutes, close to it. We haven't mentioned one term. Can you think about what it is?
Oh, I don't know.
CrossFit.
Ooh. Mm. I was actually just thinking about that when you were naming all the different places you were going down the list. You didn't even say CrossFit.
CrossFit, I mean, dude, we used to rip on CrossFit when I was bodybuilding.
Oh, constantly.
It's still kind of fun to rip on it a little bit.
Right.
It is like it's a cult.
Right.
I mean, it's like a religion. The only thing I've never liked about CrossFit is just moving heavy weight really fast like that. And some of those movements that they do, it's just never been appealing to me, man. I've seen too many people get hurt doing it.
Yeah. I mean, CrossFit's been around for years now. Like,
but don't get it twisted, man. Some of those guys are savages.
No,
straight up savages.
Respect to all of them. Well, like,
I mean, if you're looking at like the top 1% in the CrossFit games, you want to say like hybrid athlete, dude. Like we were talking.
Yeah.
Like we were talking about how we were doing that clean squat and press, and you were Ben picked up the 25. We were giving him a hard time because, you know, he was out of breath for
doing a couple reps. I did do the 45 afterwards.
Okay, he did the 45.
That's fine. It on video?
Yes, it is.
It was on the story. But he only did like two reps. Either way, the point is those guys are doing 185, 225 pounds constantly in those CrossFit games and then going to run, pick up 100-pound bags of sand or whatever. Insane. It's insane.
I love watching them.
No doubt.
When the games are on TV, it's impressive to watch.
Yeah, they're 100% hybrid AF as well. We just didn't go down that avenue and talk about them. I mean, I feel like people are moving away from the CrossFit kind of side of things, though, too, and going more into like these, you know, boutique gyms and things like that because it's just a quicker, maybe more work capacity kind of aspect to it.
The other thing, too, that I don't know if you guys feel the same way, but ever since I transitioned into the home gym, I've been feeling like doing more hybrid workouts. Like, I don't feel like doing, like when I used to go to the gym, I would be like, okay, I'm going to bench press. I'm going to do my incline bench. I'm going to do, you know, chest flies. I'm going to do all my accessories. Because, man, look at all these fun things that, like, these cables. I can just sit here and just do this.
Yeah. Right.
Whereas at home, you got to kind of get more creative. Like, because you don't have all that stuff. So it makes you get creative, makes your workouts more fun. I don't know. Am I wrong? Or
you guys, I think, you're
absolutely right. I've gotten stronger, faster. I like using the word faster, but like Donnie V, fast can't go into the same sentence.
Yeah, faster.
More functional, let's put it that way.
Yep.
But I've gotten that way since I started training in my home gym I built it than what I did when I would go into Gold's. And I think about that sometimes when I'm down in my garage training. I'm like, you know, if I was at Gold's, what would I be doing for a chest workout?
Yep.
You know, I would do exactly what I used to do. It's because what I was programmed to do. Maybe not now. If I went in there, I would find other things to do because I know more. I'm more knowledge based on functional type exercises and training. But I would go in there and do one heavy explosive movement, a flat bench or an incline bench, to break the muscle down, and then I would hit 4 or 5 plate loaded machines and cables. Call it a day and walk out.
Yeah, let's get down to brass tacks. It is what it is. Everything that we're talking about right here, home gyms to boutique gyms to CrossFit facilities to sports performance for athletes, you're on your feet a lot more than going to, you know,
machines.
To the fitness center. Correct.
There's no machine.
I mean, being on your hands and feet and, you know, training to that capacity is going to make you feel better because it's more normal. You're not made to sit down and press something or pull something. The body was not designed to do that. The body was designed to jump up, grab a branch, and pull yourself up to it. So, same thing.
I didn't even have a bench in my home gym like we talked about for the first 2-3 months that we started doing all that.
For sure.
And like I think I was telling Ben the other day, I was like, I got it. And I think I bench pressed one time maybe, and then I started using it maybe for like a box squat, and I haven't even really broken it in necessarily. Like, I've done a couple sets of bench here and there, but you know,
just don't jump over it, please.
Yeah, I know. We're not jumping. I do have a box.
Like, build it up.
I have a box. I have a 30-inch plyo box. We might have to stack some more things on top of it, but
shout out to Ben Fox.
Shout out to Ben Fox building that bench.
You know, the one thing that I noticed too, and I know other guys can attest to this, older gentlemen and women, like my wife, since we've been training at home and doing more functional type movements and lifting, I've found all the imbalances that I have.
Right.
Found them really freaking quick. You know, I have to go down and do a lot of dynamic movement and warm up. And then even after I get done doing that, I'll do some static stretching before. I know you're not supposed to do that, but I mean, I have to.
For sure.
I can't move. But I found all of those little tweaks and imbalances that I've had from bodybuilding and strength and physique training all those years. And just slowly over time trying to recover or like reverse those.
Right.
And work on them to where they're not imbalances anymore has actually helped, you know. Taylor Wakeland, Aaron Summers' girlfriend.
Fiance.
I should say. Sorry, Taylor. You know, she gave me some stuff to work on, you know, like single leg movements after squatting and deadlifting and stuff to try to, you know, reverse some of those hip imbalances and stuff like that. That shit helps. It works. And I think the everyday person can do those. I just don't think they know how.
Right.
So one of my favorite things when I was, you know, an athlete was going to physical therapy. Like, I loved getting fixed. Like,
that's what got me into the whole sport was physical therapy. Yep. I broke this leg at a bonfire drunk as hell one night. Never weightlifted before in my life. Just wasn't a weightlifter. I was a little stoner.
Physical therapy is really cool. Like, that was one of the things that I wanted to do when I went to college originally. That's a lot of school. I didn't like school that much, so it didn't work out. But physical therapy is awesome. If I could go to physical therapy every day and not have to pay however much it is to go to physical therapy, I would do it. Because there's a lot of issues going on. 18 years of baseball on this arm. This thing is messed up.
If anybody wants to offer free physical therapy, free help.
Physical therapy, hit me up. Scott. You know, DM me on Instagram. Work. We're good. Yeah, we'll get it done.
Have all these women calling and DMing. The answer's going to cut your balls off.
I'm physical therapy only. Nothing else.
I'm a little jealous of KSG over that. He's freaking married to one.
Yeah, Kyle. That
one is living room every night. He can get therapy anytime he wants.
Kyle's got it made right there.
I'm a little jealous. All right, well, before we wrap the show up, Squattober is coming up. So I think on this topic, you know, why don't we enhance squat? What do you think we're going to do this year? Like, you and I, what did we do last year? We both did 5'10"?
Yeah, I think we were both different places of our lives, like, last year when it came to, you know, we have moved more towards this hybrid AF, like, style, like, on a day-to-day basis. So I think last year we were definitely more on, like, the strength side of things, so... Not that we're making excuses. We'll still do it, and we'll still get better than we are currently right now. But, yeah, what are you thinking?
I think I'm going to shoot for 520.
Okay, so you are trying to push the number even higher. Ooh. I like it.
I mean, you have to, right?
Yeah.
I don't want to go into it and be like, well, if I get 500, I don't want to do it. Because if I'm the type of person, if I don't set that bar, I ain't going to hit it.
Right.
I'll dick around. I'll make excuses. I just will. I'll talk myself out of doing it.
Right.
So... I got to at least shoot for 520. What worked for me last year, though, and I'm sorry, AA, so don't call me out on this, but I actually skipped some of the workouts last year to recover.
Right.
You know, I did. I'll admit that. Or I would switch them up a little bit.
Yep.
For myself. And I did. I still hit it. You know, I still train. I did train every day. I never, like, completely skipped one.
Right.
I would just modify the squats a little bit so that I could get it in and do it and not kill myself and not hurt. But I don't know, man. 520 is what I'm going to shoot for. But I got a little challenge of our own.
Uh-oh.
I mean, Scott needs to get more involved this year. He was always behind the camera a lot last year, but he is the young buck.
Listen, last time I
know you could out-squat the two of us if you wanted to.
I've facts. Seen you do it.
When I was squatting a lot of weight, I was almost 200 pounds. I'm sitting pretty at like 183, 185 pounds right now. I'm a lot lighter than I was, so I don't even know. I haven't maxed out in a long time, so I don't even know where I'm at. And I play a lot of volleyball. My knees ache.
Excuses are for little leaguer, Scott. Do you want to roll with the big leaguers?
Listen, I mean, just saying, I might do the Donnie V approach where I alter some things. Maybe we don't max out every day. I, you know, do some recovery in there.
You have to knee bend every day.
I'll knee bend every day, but we go light on some days because my knees can't take it.
The Normatex got abused last year.
Oh yeah,
I was charging them things like every other night.
I might have to pay rent on the Normatex if I'm going to be participating.
So this is what I'm proposing. I think we've made jokes about this. I'm not going to make that 5K or the sprint try. There's just no way. I haven't trained for it.
Right.
You know, Yvonne said she was going to do it. What happened with that?
Yvonne says a lot of things. She here?
No.
No.
Okay, good. but no, I mean, all jokes aside, a lot of positive things, good things have happened with the business. And, man, it takes a lot of time and dedication to train for something like that. I haven't been able to do it. I haven't been in the water to swim in God knows how long. The running and the cycling for that race, I would make it through it. It would kill me. I would die. But right. I would make it through it. But the swimming, I would drown right now. That's just hard. It's a 1,300-meter swim.
Right. So.
But I think we should do Squattober a little hybrid style this year. So, like, on the when it ends, let's do, you know, the, what do they call that, the PR day?
Yeah, very end of PR it. Party.
So, let's do that, and then run a mile when we're done. Or put some sort of like hybrid workout at the end of it.
Okay. And see how fast we can run a mile after that?
Yeah, see who can get the best.
Some
heaviest squat, box jumps, mile.
So we should, I mean, I think we'll do it fair. I think we should start it with a mile. Start the month with a mile and actually get after it. Like push the envelope and see if after 30 days, 31 days of Squattober.
Go a little faster, yeah.
As we get stronger, as we recruit more fast twitch muscle fibers, things like that along the way, does that actually help improve? Because let's be honest, we're going to do Squattober. We ain't going to be focusing on running to improve the mile necessarily, but let's just see if it helps. So I say we get after it at the beginning and then we finish it. I like that idea.
I'm in.
My wife is going to die laughing when I tell her about that. She's going to fall backwards in her chair. You ain't doing that.
Where are we doing this mile?
We do it right outside his house.
Yeah, anywhere, really, I guess.
Is it going to be a like a loop around a certain area, or are we going marked spots and we're getting picked up at the end? Because
let's just do one circle. One little circle start at the house, back to the house.
All right.
You know, I do have a Peloton tread, too. We could just go up there and
time it.
Get after it and time it.
That's cheating.
Is it?
How's that cheating?
Man, you're just lifting your feet up, putting them down. Like, I love treadmills, but like if we're gonna be hybrid as fuck, let's get outside.
Pam is washing that mouth out.
Jeez, that's like four or five today.
No kidding. Ugh. All right, well, I hope you learned a little bit. I wanted to do a training podcast because the last two or three we've done current events and all the negativity, so I wanted to talk some training today.
Yeah.
This was good.
Anybody's got any questions or needs help, always feel free to reach out to all three of us.
Or if you have free physical therapy you want to give out to me, reach out. I'm more than willing to accept that. So,
you think I would get in trouble if I started a little recovery clinic down in the garage? Through the Normatex down there, I've got a Compex machine, Normatex.
I say same.
You have more random people like pop into your garage door than I've ever seen in my life. Like people,
that's because like, they're walking to the beach.
Yeah, are always wanting to see what's happening down there.
I think, man, if I had an IV, if I had access to IVs, I could start Verity's Recovery Clinic right on the other side of my garage.
For sure. Some of your friends in town would be upset if you did that, though.
Gabe, sorry, buddy. All right, man. Till next time.